Lord God, what a blessing it is again to be in this place. That we can come in and celebrate the fact that Jesus truly is alive. That, Lord, this is not just a story that we like to tell ourselves. That this is truth. Truth that changes lives. That Jesus was crucified for us on Friday for the forgiveness of our sins. And that, Lord, that He was raised a couple of days later, Lord, to prove that He truly was the Son of God. And everything that He said while He was on earth was true. You vindicated Him. So please make much of Him this morning as we look in Your Word. Holy Spirit, please move amongst us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 months ago, on January 24th, the world remembered Winston Churchill, remembered his life, because that day marked 50 years since his death. He was one of the most remarkable figures of the 20th century. He was one of those guys who was just larger than life, had a personality to fit. He was born to a noble family in Britain. He served as a soldier in their army, then went to the British cabinet, and eventually became Prime Minister of England. And he led the country through the darkest days against Nazi Germany. It was as if he lived his entire life. His entire life, though he had spent all of his life in the spotlight in some ways, he lived his whole life for these moments, this moment, when he would stand before this country and show strength as they weathered so many storms during that time. No matter how long he had lived, it's these days that he was remembered for. It was his defining moment in history. And about this kind of moment, he once wrote, "To each there comes in their lifetime a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing, unique to them and fitted to their talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared or unqualified for that which could have been their finest hour." Now, Winston Churchill was not a perfect man, not by any stretch. But as flawed as he was uniquely used by God in what some would describe as the defining moment of the 20th century. And during our time together, I want to draw your attention to an event in Scripture that we could call and will call the defining moment of all time. It's a moment that marked amazing changes in the life of one man in particular, but also for the entire world. I think you know what moment that we're talking about. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the man that I want you to remember this morning is Peter, the Apostle Peter. Now, what is it that you remember about Peter and about his life? What was his occupation when Jesus found him? He was a fisherman, right? He was a fisherman when he met Jesus. And he also had a different name then. You remember what that was? He was Simon. Now, it's a pretty important day, when you meet Jesus and he no longer wants to call you by the name that you were given at birth, he calls you something else. So from that moment forward, he was no longer known as Simon, he was known as Peter. He was one of the first disciples to follow Christ, and he spent the next 3 years of his life listening to Jesus teach, God in the flesh. He followed him for the next 3 years and heard the words of God. If you remember, Peter was the man in Matthew chapter 16 who proclaimed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was the one that was so determined to follow Jesus to his death and show his allegiance to him when Christ told them that he was going to be placed on a cross. We learn a lot about Peter in the pages of the four Gospels and then later on in Acts. But if I were to ask you this morning, what was the one thing that you remember about Peter the most? I would guess that you would probably say that it was his denial of Christ. I think that would probably stand out in your mind and in my mind above anything else. And I doubt that there was anything that grieved Peter more in his entire life than remembering on the night before Christ died, he'd rejected his Lord not one time, not just once. He rejected him three times. Now, this is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And his sin would be remembered by every generation that followed. I mean, think about that. You know, the thing that you would have been most grieved over for the rest of your life is recorded for everybody that follows you to see and listen and hear about. Every time that we talk about the crucifixion of Christ, I mean, Peter's name is attached to that as the one who rejected Jesus. This is what he said that night before Christ died. He said, "I do not know the man." He said, "I don't know him." The Jesus that he had followed for those 3 years, had been so committed to, even the day before, he said, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and wept bitterly. And if it had all ended there, who knows what would have happened to Peter? He probably would have dealt with constant disappointment and probably guilt the rest of his life as he remembered those words that he had spoken about Jesus. But fortunately for him, his story doesn't end there. Peter's story continues on. And he didn't have to wait very long for things to change for the better. I think some of you here this morning, you know what it feels like to bottom out, to be at your lowest, just like Peter was that night. Some of you are starving for a shred of hope, just a ray of sunshine. Every day you wake up, you're reminded of that one thing that you wish was not true. What do you think that Peter felt like the next day when he woke up and he remembered that he had rejected Jesus and he wished that had not been true? So Sunday morning after Jesus died on Friday, Peter woke up remembering that thing that he had done. But something changed for Peter that day. We looked at it earlier in our service, and it's in Luke chapter 24. After the women who went to the tomb to begin to spread the message that Jesus was truly alive, it said that Peter ran back to the tomb. He went back, and he stooped in and looked. This is what it says, Luke 24, verse 12. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. So here Peter is. He wakes up on Sunday morning, and he remembers that thing again, and it hits him in the pit of his stomach, and he wishes that that wasn't so. And here these women are coming around. They tell him, "You know, Peter, something has changed today. We saw Jesus." So Peter's clinging to that shred of hope, and he runs back to the tomb, and he looks in, and he stoops in and looks, and he says, "Oh, something amazing has happened here." And he's walking back to his house, and he's marveling at what he just saw. What do you think was going through his mind? Do you think that he started rethinking all the things that Christ had taught him and the other disciples in that previous 3 years? It says he went home marveling. He was amazed at what he saw. And I would suggest this morning that the defining day, the defining moment in Peter's life was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the moment that changed everything for this man. The fear, the guilt, the despair, and everything that had been with him after he had denied Christ was lifted, and there was new hope that morning because Jesus, the man that he had denied, was alive. He was alive. Now, there were some pretty big things that happened in his life after that day, but each of them hinged on the truth of the resurrection. John chapter 21 tells us about the risen Jesus restoring Peter. And so he'd still been carrying around some of this guilt and some of this shame, thinking about when the day that he's going to have this conversation with Jesus, when he brings it back up again, that he had failed him. But Jesus, so kind, so gracious, so merciful, looks at Peter and forgives him, shows him mercy. Peter was confronted with true love after having failed. And by the way, that's probably what some of you need to be reminded of this morning. That God is not like a man who holds a grudge when a person has failed him. When someone comes to God and repents, the Lord rejoices over you. He rejoices over you. He invites you to come and repent and to trust in Him again, and He will pour out His love and His mercy on you. And there's Acts chapter 2, a pretty big day in Peter's life. tells the story of the powerful sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and how the Holy Spirit took those fearful disciples, those men that had been holed up, those men and women that were holed up in that room. They were afraid of what was going on the outside, and then the Holy Spirit fell on those people, and they went outside and they began to preach with power the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter lifted up his voice and spoke about the risen Lord, and it said that 3,000 people were added to the number of the church that day. 3,000 people had new faith in Christ and had turned from their sins and believed. And they were brought into God's family. I think that was a pretty big day in the life of Peter. So he still had some important days still yet to come, but I don't think it's a stretch to say that the most important in his life, the one that changed everything, was the day that he woke up and heard that Jesus was not in the tomb anymore, but was alive. So the same man whose life could have been defined by unbelief found hope in the resurrection of Christ. He turned from being a coward and denying the Lord the day of his crucifixion into a courageous preacher and a future missionary who would see the power of God rest upon him, change his own life, and to see God use him to change the lives of other people. So he was despondent and fearful of death when asked if he even knew Jesus that Friday. And then shortly thereafter, he was willing to give up his life and consider it a small price to pay. I would say something amazing happened in the life of the Apostle Peter. Because this is what belief in the resurrection does. It changes everything. It reorients the way you see the world. It reorients the way that you see yourself before God. It changes the way that you interact with other people. The life that Jesus had when he was raised from the dead, he gives that new life to people today that trust in him. I don't know this morning what you came in here thinking in your heart of hearts about Jesus. But if you have doubts about him as the risen Son of God, I want you to take note this morning of Peter's change and realize what God did in him, he can do for you. So believe this morning. Believe this morning in the empty tomb. You know, this text that I read at the beginning of the service, it said that some of those who heard believed it was just an idle tale. Please do not walk out of here today thinking that this story that we're reading is just an idle tale. It's something that we tell children to give them hope in Easter and hope in life. This is a true message. A message that transformed the life of Peter and so many thousands and thousands of people, even within days of Jesus being raised. And it is a message that continues to change the lives of people today. So this morning, can you say that you honestly believe that you need a Savior? Do you believe that you need a Savior? So Peter here, he was confronted with his own failure when he denied the Lord to protect himself. He was afraid of being lumped in with Christ and being killed that day. What about you? Have you ever been confronted with your own failure? Have you ever been confronted with your own sins, your own failure, maybe your own denial of Christ? God is gracious. And he offers you forgiveness. He offers you salvation through his Son this morning. Trusting in this will change your life. It will change your life. So I'm sure that Peter looked back on this day and he was grieved for it, but he knew this was part of his story. He knew what he had done. He was confronted with his own sin and his own failure. And so as you look back in your own life right now and you're confronted with maybe who you were in the past and you don't like what you see back there, know that it could be part of your story of grace, how God changes people and transforms them from someone who was disobedient and a rebel against him to a person whose life is now committed to follow him and a friend of God. That was Peter's story. And that could be your story this morning. Look at what this same man wrote years later in the letter that we call 1 Peter. He would say, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So here was a man that denied Jesus. He couldn't and would not have written this years before. But after being transformed by the grace of God, he writes these precious words. Let me share with you three things from this passage that Peter now knew when he wrote this, now knew because Jesus was alive. And the first thing that he understood was God's mercy. He understood God's mercy. God was not obligated. God was not obligated to show kindness to Peter. But because He is merciful, God rejoiced in showing Peter mercy. God loved to do that. Have you ever known mercy and forgiveness is the right thing to do, but it took everything you had to try to give it? Have you ever had known that feeling before? When you knew that you were supposed to forgive somebody, supposed to show mercy, and instead of that thing just coming so easy to you, it was like pulling teeth. It's not that way with God. He loves to share His joy with His creation. And that's exactly what He was doing in the crucifixion and the resurrection of His Son. And that's exactly what Peter found out, that God is merciful. And He rejoices in giving that mercy, not just to Peter, but to all who would come to Him. That's why he could say at the beginning of this passage, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," which means, "I am praising God for the mercy that He's given to me." Peter knew what mercy looked like. He knew what he had deserved. But look at what God gave to him. He showed His kindness and His goodness to this man who had rejected His Son. And then He used that same man for wonderful things for the sake of His own glory and for the honor of God. When you know that you need mercy and you find out that you have received it, what should be your natural response? I think it would be praise, where you would say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He gives mercy." The second thing that Peter knew when he wrote this was that he had a living hope. A living hope. So Peter's hope was in a living person. And the source of this hope, Jesus, is alive. So Peter could say, "My hope is alive," because his hope was not in anything else except for the person of Jesus. And he was alive in heaven, and Peter knew it. Because he knew that that was true, it changed the way that he lived his life. Some of you in this room this morning need to be reminded that Jesus is on His throne. Start living your life like Jesus is alive. You don't need to be wearing long faces, anxious about the future, despondent by everything that you see on the news or you read in magazines, because Jesus is King. We see the end already in Scripture, what is going to take place. Jesus is victorious, which means His people are victorious. Don't place your hope on those things that die with this world. Those are dying things. Peter said he had a living hope. Place your hope this morning in what is alive, and that what is Jesus. If your hope is in anything other than Him, it won't last. Your joy in those things will not last. Money will not satisfy you. Neither will a good job. Beauty will not satisfy you. Control of your circumstances. Those things will not last. You know that from experience. Your health will fail. Don't place your trust in those things. They are dying with this world. They're fading from view right now. You were made for more than this. You were made for more than this. You were made to live with God. And because Jesus is alive, your hope will always be alive. So place your trust in Him, a person, a living person. I hope this morning that Jesus is very real to you. I hope that He is real. This is not a story. He looks down right now and sees His people. He doesn't just see us on the outside and see us worshiping Him and listening to His Word. He sees what's going on the inside, and He says to you, come. Come, have mercy this morning. Have hope in Him, the living person. The third thing that Peter knew as he wrote this passage is that he was a child of God. He was a child of God. Because his faith was in the living Jesus, he now knew for certain that he had a lasting, forever relationship with God. So much so, Peter says, he has had an inheritance waiting for him from the Father. And we use this hope in some maybe some different ways than what this passage is talking about here. We'll often say things like, well, I hope I get that. Or I hope I might be able to partake in that, or I think that might be waiting for me, as if there's a possibility that it will not happen. That is not what Peter is talking about here. His hope is certain. He is assured of this because he has seen the risen Lord. He knows that he is alive. He has an assurance that God is preparing a place for him as a son, as his child. Someone that has been adopted into his family through the blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you honestly say that about yourself this morning? There are a lot of people who make mention of being Christians because it's just a way of identifying ourselves. But their lives look no different than anybody else's. I'm not just talking about the things that you've stopped doing. Christianity is not just about stopping doing those things that other people do. It's about what you start doing that you were unable to do before. Things like loving those who don't love you back. Forgiving those people that you probably on the inside feel like don't deserve forgiveness. Those people that have hurt you, do you forgive them? Do you show mercy to those that, you know, the world would say, they don't deserve it? For those things to happen, something has to change you on the inside. And that's what Peter's talking about in this passage. He says he has been born again to a living hope. He's been born for the second time. And not just a fleshy birth. That's not what he's talking about, like everybody has. Not born into a Christian family. And because your parents followed Christ, we now call ourselves Christians. It's not about aligning yourself with good morals. That's not what being a Christian is all about. No, he's talking about an encounter with the living Christ that changes everything. Where you're now certain where your future and your inheritance is. Peter says here, it is waiting in heaven. It's waiting there for him. He knows it's there because he is a son of the living God. And as a father, he gives his children an inheritance. And he says, it is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It will never end. This inheritance that God gives to his children will not run out. Your joy will not fade. It will last forever. So the defining moment of Peter's life was connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But my concern this morning is bigger than just one man's life. My concern this morning is for you. In the 3 days between Jesus' death and his resurrection, God solved your biggest problem. Your biggest problem. My biggest problem. It's the distance between us and him because of our failures. That's what God took care of those 3 days. Our sins separate us from his continual presence, and without peace with him and without his presence with us, we're missing what it means to truly live. God made you to have life with him. That's real, true, abundant, lasting life. That's what God made you for. And he made it possible through what Jesus did for you. And this morning, Jesus offers peace with God through his blood, and he offers new life in his resurrection. Would you believe this morning that Jesus truly is alive? and that you needed a Savior to be crucified in your place, that the anger of God was poured out on him. And because it was poured out on him, God's anger will not be poured out on you. And this is why we celebrate Easter, because Jesus proved that he is not just an ordinary man. It sure looked like that to Peter on Friday, didn't it? It sure looked like Jesus was just an ordinary man the day that he denied Christ. But what he found out soon enough was that he was the God-man. That Jesus was more than just a good teacher. He was more than just a good moral man. That he was God in the flesh. And had been sent to take care of his greatest problem and to set everything right. So some of you have come into this place this morning, and you know that you have been distant from God. You know it. You've been separated from him because of your own sins. And you need to understand this morning that no matter how bad things have been for you, no matter how bad they've been for you, no matter how terrible your mistakes, God offers you mercy. The same mercy that he offered to Peter, he offers to you this morning. An opportunity to make things right with him because of what Jesus has done. This is the best of news. I hope this morning that you receive it like that. This is the best news that you could possibly hear, because the biggest relationship that you have in your life is not with your spouse, it is not with your parents, it is not with your friends, it is not with your children. The biggest relationship that you have, the biggest need you have, is to know God. Because of our sinfulness, we have been separated from him, but this morning God offers you mercy and peace through the blood of his Son, and because he has been raised from the dead, you can partake in his new life if you believe in him. If you would trust in him this morning, if you would have faith that this is not an idle tale, that you would look at Jesus new this morning like Peter did when he saw the tomb was empty, that you would go away from this place marveling at what you saw and what you heard. And I hope that it is new life in Jesus Christ. Some of you have thought about Christianity in the past. Maybe you even called yourself one. But you know that you have never lived for Christ. You've never experienced his strength. You have never experienced his presence. You've never experienced his Spirit. Right now. Believing in him. Ask God to save your soul and make you his own, so that like Peter, you can know that you are a child of God, that you have an inheritance that is waiting for you in heaven, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Can you say that this morning? Some of you are here because it's Easter, and that's what you do on Easter, right? You go to church. You are not here by mistake. You are not here by mistake. God wanted to make his love known to you. Do not come up with another excuse why you will not commit to follow Jesus Christ. Do not do that this morning. God is offering you mercy. Mercy. Come to him. Others of you this morning call Kaz your church. No one here is perfect. Every person in this room fails. We all fail. Even the best examples in the Bible fail. But each of us needs to be reminded that we have been given new life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to live like the new people that we are in him, and not give ourselves to the old ways of death. Maybe you this morning need to recommit your life to follow Jesus Christ. However you came in here this morning, right here, right now, know that Jesus died for sinners like you. And he was raised, and he now lives. Make this a defining moment where, like Peter, you can go away marveling at what God has done for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just as this passage has told us, you are the blessed and happy God. And you are worthy to be praised for what you offer to your people this morning. That through Jesus Christ, through everything that He has done for us, we can find forgiveness, we can find peace, no matter what we have done in the past. Lord, you offer us new life in Jesus Christ. Please tear down the hardened walls of our hearts and change us. We know, God, that your grace has that power. Would you please work that great grace amongst us this morning? And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand and sing.